hello everybody out there in music video land. Welcome to the Internet Music Video Databases podcast called Music Video Land. I am one of your hosts. I work on IMVDB. My name is Doug Klinger, and with us as usual is north of the wall, Mr. Adam Alexander. Adam, how are you?
I'm feeling good tonight, ready to talk.
Feeling good and ready to talk. Cool. And Adam Alexander wasn't with us last week, because last week we did a Best Music Video of the Year podcast where Adam Fairholme and I just kind of talked for 2 hours about 10 music videos. It's very riveting. And
I hated them all this year, so
yeah,
you just hated
the music videos, so you didn't talk about them. And with us, continuing our streak of fantastic guests on the podcast, is Director of Photography Andrew Wheeler. Andrew, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. Hello, hello.
And Andrew, it's true you have a nickname, right? You go by Wheels?
That is correct.
Sweet. I think we've had some guests on the podcast before who've had nicknames, but I think you might have the coolest. So well, how does that feel?
Feels great. That's why I use it.
Sweet, sweet. And is that a nickname that started before your career in filmmaking?
It did indeed. It wasn't a far jump from Wheeler as a last name to Wheels. I think I just adopted it from my father, who is also Wheels.
So you come from a long line of Wheels.
Exactly.
Which is sweet. That's sweet.
He's Big Wheels. I'm Little Wheels.
That's nice, nice. Yeah, I don't have any kind of cool nicknames like that. But me and my dad do have the same initials, so that's neat.
Yeah, it works out. It makes it a little easier to remember people's names on set for me when they have nicknames, or people remember you if that's the case, I suppose, because you know, with new people all the time, I'm terrible with names in general. So
totally. So you gravitate towards nicknames?
For some reason, I can remember them more. Anyways.
Totally, totally. No, that makes sense. And I guess I'd like to start with kind of getting into a little bit of how you know, what your background is and how you got into, you know, shooting music videos like you do now.
Sure. Well, I'd say it's a bit of a long road, actually. A little different than most people's, probably. I went to undergrad for film, and I always knew I wanted to kind of work in, you know, the film, commercial music video world for a long time. However, I was sidetracked by music from, I would say, you know, about, I graduated from undergraduate and from University of the Arts in Philadelphia in 2001. And as soon as I had been playing in a kind of underground hardcore punk band for the last 2 years, like I guess it started in 1999. So 99, 2000, 2001, I graduated, and then the band proceeded to tour all over the world. So that kind of took me away from filmmaking for about 5 years or so. And I had started working as an electrician on film sets, you know, kind of learning lighting, all that kind of stuff. And then eventually I moved to Los Angeles to attend the American Film Institute, where I got a master's degree in cinematography from 2008 to 2010. And that's kind of where it all started. And then music videos were just, you know, they were the first kind of jobs that I was getting. And it just kind of went from there, you know, starting in 2010.
And, you know, a lot of, you know, we've got on the site 32 DP credits and one second unit DP credit for you. I'm sure you've got a bunch more that we don't have. But, you know, back in those earlier days, you worked very frequently with Jordan Bahat, who is a former guest on this podcast, as well as Alex Two-Tone. Is it kind of working with those two guys that you kind of started getting into music videos?
Yeah, Alex was the one who kind of gave me the most opportunity in the beginning. He's a good friend, and we were introduced by someone else, and we did a small video together, and then we just kind of kept going at it. And he was mostly who I was working with for, I would say, almost the first year, and then which was really great, because I just kind of, you know, he was learning, I was learning, we just, you know, we got to try a lot of different things and just kind of, you know, get the lay of the land and see how it went. And you know, I met Jordan I mean, somewhere within that first year. And at some, he had done a few videos already, and had, you know, shot with some other folks, and we just kind of clicked, and, you know, consequently have worked a bunch together since then. And Jordan's a very close friend of mine as well. So it's been, they've been good kind of collaborative endeavors, with people that were kind of in similar places at similar times.
Sure.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of the earlier videos that you worked on, you worked on a lot of kind of like hip hop videos, and you still kind of, find yourself in that area space now, but you've definitely kind of transitioned, into a lot of more pop stuff as well. And was that like a conscious transition that you were trying to make into the pop world?
Not really. It just, you know, I mostly look for folks that I enjoy being around and want to spend time with. And that's, you know, as far as music videos go, I'm actually not that critical about the ones that I work on. It's really just being with people that I want to be with, because they always are such motherfucking ball busters.
the music videos are.
Yes.
Right. And so the it's less about the actual music video and artist that you're working with, and more about the person you're working with?
Yeah, that's, I would say at this point, that is the kind of overwhelming decision to take on a music video.
Continue.
It's just, you know, it comes down to wanting to work with certain people, or people that I've gotten along with, or people that I'm introduced to that I think I may enjoy working with. That is the, as far as doing music videos, that's kind of how that goes, I guess, for me at this point, especially. I don't have to really do them anymore. So it's all it's by choice at this point, I would say, more so. At the beginning, it was just, I just wanted to shoot as much as possible, get as much experience as possible, and I kind of would take anything that came my way, and I was lucky to early on find people that I got along with, and then that just became a way that I liked to work.
Sure. And recently you've been working a lot with Eric Wareheim. You shot two music videos for him this year, and did you also shoot that? Did you shoot that Jeff Goldblum commercial?
I did. Yeah, and I shot their TV show Bedtime Stories as well.
Oh, nice. The whole series?
Uh-huh.
Oh, sweet. Yeah. That's awesome. I didn't know that. I am not prepared enough.
That's all good.
So, I'm curious how you got started working with Eric Wareheim and how you guys started collaborating.
Yeah, it's it all goes back to the punk music roots, believe it or not. I knew who Tim and Eric were, and I think maybe around a buddy of mine from the band that I played in Pittsburgh, or I'm sorry, in Philadelphia. I grew up in Pittsburgh, but I lived in Philadelphia for 11 years before LA. One of my bandmates, who I'm still, you know, very close with, kind of mentioned that he knew Wareheim, and I was like, oh, you should send him a message and, you know, mention my name. And he did that, and like a week later, I followed up, and Eric said, yeah, you know, I think I've heard of you. I said something along the lines of like, hey, I think we have a bunch of friends in common, and I think we were like in a lot of the same rooms in the late 90s watching punk bands in Philadelphia. It was something, you know, I wrote something like that.
Yeah.
And that was kind of the end of it for, you know, nothing really happened for a couple months until a producer at their company, Absolutely, reached out to me about who I had worked. He was from Philadelphia also. The last movie that I worked on when I was, you know, when I worked as an electrician in Philadelphia before I moved to LA, which was like 2008, I think. This guy was an AD on that film, and he had become a producer at Absolutely. And he just, you know, he called. He said, "Hey, I'm working on this pilot that Eric Wareheim is going to direct, and I wanted to try and get you involved." And I said, "Yeah, that's great." This was independent of those emails before. And he said, "Come on in. I want you to meet him." And I went in. spoke to Eric for, it was probably only 20 minutes, and we barely talked about the show that we were supposed to do. We just talked about Philadelphia and Philly bands and stuff.
Nice.
And I left there just kind of feeling like it was, I enjoyed the conversation, but we didn't really talk about what we were there to talk about. Before I even got home, the producer had called and said, "Hey, you're in where Wareham wants to do it." So that was the beginning right there, which was, I guess, maybe September or so of 2013.
Was it the Bedtime Stories pilot?
No, we shot another pilot for, I did not shoot the Bedtime Stories pilot. I shot the entire series, but I did not shoot the pilot. We shot a show that never saw the light of day called Candy Ranch that starred Andy Milonakis, Riff Raff, Kimbo Slice, and somebody. Oh, Simon Rex.
That makes sense.
Yeah,
that's fantastic. I'm very disappointed that never saw the light of day, but that's a bummer. It's interesting that you kind of have worked with Eric both in television and in music videos, because I've always kind of wondered, somebody with such an extensive television background, when it comes to him as a music video director, is it kind of like working with any other music video director, or does he kind of bring some of that TV stuff with him?
No, I think he's, well, maybe it's hard to kind of distinguish between the two. He certainly brings a wealth of ideas and kind of, there are things that are very distinctively kind of Eric Wareheim-esque that he brings to every project. I think he gets to do whatever he wants in music videos. It seems like he doesn't really care all that much about doing songs for popular artists or anything. He just kind of does what he has an idea and he wants to do it, and I feel like in a lot of ways he just doesn't. It's like his baby. I think music videos are his babies, you know.
Yeah. So you don't get a sense that these are like side projects or anything like that for him.
No, it's something that I think he really really enjoys doing creatively, you know.
Yeah, and when you get when a music video like the Ham music video that you just shot for him by Mr. Wazzo, is that how you pronounce it?
I think so. Yeah.
Adam Alexander knows. Do you get like a full story, a full backstory, or are more of it just kind of like images that you're looking to create? How much of the story is there at the onset?
The story is very, he doesn't do treatments the way I think most people do treatments, whether that's just how he likes to do them, or he doesn't. I feel like music video treatments have become very kind of cliche, and like they all look exactly the same. I feel like there's the same bank of like 5,000 images that gets used for every treatment. He doesn't really do it that way. I get a one page written out kind of story/summary of the video from beginning to end, and there's the ones that I've done with him have had some kind of narrative element to it, so it's just kind of written out like a one page story, and there's often little kind of descriptions in there that are specific about like relating specifically to how he wants to do something within there, generally the I would say the description for what the video is supposed to be is fairly general, and he leaves a lot up to me to kind of figure out. But it, like for the Oizo video or Weezo video or Wazzo video, whatever, it was the one page treatment, and it said stuff like, and there were images in it too, mostly like fat people in scooters. That was all the images.
Right.
But, you know, then there'll be, like, he'll just leave a couple notes or, like, and he'll say things like high production value, Steadicam, stuff like that. But it's not specific beyond, I want this. Like, the tobacco video and the Oizo video were completely different. Like, he wanted to be really dark, kind of dirty and nasty in the tobacco video, in the Wazo video was a bit more polished, I suppose. And those were very clear things from him. They weren't necessarily specific, but he leaves a lot of that to me, which is really nice. And we've got a pretty good working rapport at this point that, you know, he completely trusts what I bring to the table, and, you know, I have a lot of trust in him. So I know it's always going to be, I kind of like being told what to do most of the time. I like having parameters in working on projects, and I just, you know, I like to be wrangled into those parameters, and then, you know, having someone that has a clear idea of what they want is usually the kind of person that I want to work with. So,
and in the tobacco in the Streaker by Tobacco video, there's that opening sequence that looks like VHS. Is that actually VHS?
Yeah. We shot that on. I think we shot that video on it on a Red Epic, but he had always planned on. They do his company absolutely. You know, they're known for that kind of VHS aesthetic. They've certainly done a lot of stuff like that. They've got their own little formula for how they run it through VHS players. With I don't know if they use Mac. I don't really know what they do, but they have a way that they arrive at that over there.
Yeah, right. I'm sure that's interesting. Yeah, I think I've heard them talk about some of that stuff on like the director commentaries on like the Awesome Show DVDs. They talk about like running it through actual VHS players or something. It's interesting that they that carries over into the music videos.
Yeah.
And one more completely unrelated Eric Wareheim question. We normally record this podcast on a Wednesday. But this week, or excuse me, on Thursday, but this week we're recording on Wednesday because both you and I have awesome Christmas parties to go to.
Yeah.
You have one at the Pretty Bird office with Eric Wareheim's going to be there, right?
I believe so. I mean, Absolutely is having their party tomorrow first. So I'm splitting time between his company and where he's repped as a commercial director.
Okay. I didn't mean to RSVP for Eric. At the Pretty Bird party. The real question I'm trying to get at, though, is what's the dress code and what are you going to wear?
Oh, man, I'm like I'm like the most like blue collar looking dude ever. So
something along those lines. Okay, good. That's important.
Yeah.
Okay.
So jeans and a sweatshirt or something.
Cool. So good. There's not like a major. So the party I have to go to, there's like a dress code, and it's cocktail attire, and I don't even know what that means.
I don't know what that means either.
And I've been spending like an hour trying to Google stuff, and like none of the things that the internet is telling me to wear, I own. So I'm a little concerned about that.
That sucks.
But we're digressing a little bit. I want to also talk about another music video that came out about a week ago, Masterpiece by Jesse J. You also shot. And the one thing that kind of struck me about this video is it's got it's definitely a big pop video, and it's got the feeling of that, but it's also got these moments that feel like super interesting. And I'm wondering, not interesting. It's got these moments that feel super intimate. And I'm curious in like as a DP, is there something that you can do to kind of prepare for that and to kind of like sell those intimate moments while still making the video feel like a big pop video?
I think that so Tabitha Denham directed that video. That was the first time I worked with her, and I was recommended to her by the Young Astronauts, who are some other directors that I have been working with as well. That was really her plan. I mean, she set up the moments to be that way. I was just kind of there to capture them. Like I think the more intimate stuff is the hotel kind of opening with her in the beginning, that it cuts back to a bunch. And that was actually at Jesse J's hotel that she was staying in. And it was just me, Tabitha, the producer, and like a focus puller. It was very intimate, so I think it was just the scenario was set up, and that video was shot on on film, which is not that usual at this point. And the director, Tabitha, fought very hard to have that be the case. And I do think that that is also one of the things that is potentially, you know, the reaction to it feeling that way, is just that, as crazy as that sounds.
So even the moments that, like, it you guys shot that whole thing on film, even those moments where it was just a couple of you guys in the hotel room?
Yeah, it was all shot on Super 16.
Nice.
Anamorphic Super 16 mil lenses.
Sweet.
And I don't know, there's something to that format that is maybe a little more human, or I don't know. You've heard all the arguments for one or the other, but I like to think that there's a reason that video feels that way, and that's potentially part of it.
Yeah, so you think the fact that it was shot on film attributes to the natural feeling of it?
Yeah, and it just makes, I think, people just look more like people, real people. It's, you know, it just feels like, skin feels like skin, not like white or, you know, kind of, there's depth to the detail that I don't always feel exists in digital formats.
Sure. And,
it's kind of waxing poetic a little bit, but, you know, that's one of the big reasons that I took that job.
So it was pitched to you that it was going to be on film?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nice. And you mentioned the young astronauts. How do you say Nev's last name?
Todorovic.
Okay. Nev Todorovic, who is a part of the young astronauts you've worked with very frequently, mm-hmm. three times on Ariana Grande music videos. Would you say you and Ariana Grande are friends?
No.
Do you think you've worked with her frequently? Do you think she knows that?
No.
Okay, that's fun. I've
worked with Iggy Azalea 5 times as well.
Yeah, right. You've worked with Iggy a lot too, or Iggy, you worked with Alex, right? And so
right.
And that was much earlier on. How about Iggy? Are you and Iggy pals?
No. It's funny, on the Ariana video with Iggy, I went into her dressing room, which it's probably not like really a normal move. I mean, I wasn't like expecting to walk in on them change or anything. I knew they were in there. And I hadn't done an Iggy video for like probably 2 years at that point. And I was like, hey, I said something along the lines of, you remember me or you can't escape me or something like that, you know? And she was like, I'm going to be honest. No, I don't. And I had a picture on my phone of like me and her on My World. And it was like, she's like, ah, shit. And then the stylist came in who's been with her the whole time and was like, she was just like, oh, hey, Wheels, you know, that kind of thing.
So that's hilarious that I wrote this dumb question about you and Iggy Azalea being friends, and you actually had a hilarious moment for that.
I like that poor little kid in high school. I was in your biology class.
I have proof. That's hilarious, though.
I mostly pay the artist no mind at all.
No, I'm sure. Right, of course. And, you know, and I've asked this dumb question to other DPs, and I get the same answer, and I just decided to keep being dumb.
Okay.
I'm curious, though, about the treatment of Big Sean in the Problem video, because I always like read it as like a refreshingly like sexualized moment for a male. Like, you don't see rappers in a way that I felt was like kind of like sexualizing Big Sean. Was that what you guys were after with that?
No, I think not that I was aware of.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps the astronauts had something else in mind, but I feel like he walked on the set and people didn't know if he was ever going to be there anyways.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he was scheduled to even be there. It wasn't ever like this is Big Sean's turn to go. I think he just came. He's like one of the nicest dudes, by the way. And they just like kind of put him in front of the camera and they're like, we're just going to show his lips. And that's kind of that. As far as I know, that was how the decision went. I don't know how that came to or why that was decided, but that's just how it ended up being on the day. We only had, I mean, we were so far behind on that video. It was all shot in one day.
Oh, wow. Really? And,
yeah, it was a tough one.
Is it like an 18-hour day or something, I'm assuming?
I don't think it was that bad. Fortunately, I have not had that happen to me very, very often. Most of the time, the days are, I'm pretty conscious about that and like to take pride in the fact that that hasn't happened to me very often. So, nice. No, it wasn't that bad. Maybe it was a 14-hour day, possibly. You know, a lot of music videos are billed as 14-hour work days now, which is just kind of crazy.
But. Right? Yeah, that seems pretty standard. Yeah. It seemed like a moment of pride, though, that you haven't had sets run long. Is that something that's typically tied to the DP if shoots run long?
I mean, certainly there are things that happen that are completely out of your control.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, the most common artist not showing up on time. You know, everyone hears about that kind of stuff.
Right.
But, yeah, I don't know. I'm just like, I'm an extremely practical kind of person and practically minded. And I feel like I have, also because I came out of the lighting world too, I know a lot of technical things are what can get people caught up sometimes. I don't know. I feel like I have a pretty good grasp on what's reasonable and what's not and can make suggestions, you know, otherwise, because it seems like an unrealistic kind of endeavor, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I've just stayed away from things that are going to be that way.
So like we mentioned at the beginning of the episode, last week we did a best of the year wrap up. So we've got 2 weeks of music videos that we're kind of pulling from for this episode. And we've got some good ones. We've got some super popular ones. And, you know, we kind of run the gambit. So let's dig into some of these. And I think I want to start first with this Latin or Boys Latin by Panda Bear, directed by Isaiah Saxon and Sean Helfrich. I'm bad at names. It's close. There are two of the three guys from Encyclopedia Pictoria. This is an animated music video that's pretty extraordinary. What'd you guys think of this one?
I'm a huge fan of this video, for sure.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. Adam, why don't you take us through, just really quick, some of the action and some of what happens in this video.
Yeah, sure. So we follow a male character through sort of a forest setting. It seems like the main object of interest is sort of like this circular object that he finds in a pond. It's actually kind of hard to describe, but there's a hole in the object, and it seems to sort of try to suck things into it. So it's very strange. So after he has contact with the object, he sort of starts to erupt in these multicolored blobs kind of something.
Yeah, he like develops these like these giant colorful body reactions to the pod that he encounters.
Yeah, and it kind of seems to affect his motor skills a little bit. He has difficulty walking and mm-hmm. But then he kind of gains control and seems like he maybe embraces it a little bit.
Right. And then I guess we don't for anyone who hasn't watched it, we won't give away the kind of remainder of the video, but it ends up being, you know, the story I feel like ends up being as beautiful as the kind of visuals, which it, you know, is the immediate draw to this video. And what I thought was really interesting as well was the similarities between that video and the Upsetter video, that is also Encyclopedia Pictoria video. For Metronomy. Adam, you remember that video?
Oh, yeah, that's true. I hadn't made that connection, but you're right.
Yeah, so in the Upsetter video, if you remember, it's like a bearded female character in the woods who kind of sculpts this kind of nature human, like nature man, you know, sculpts like using twigs and bushes and branches and stuff and makes a man who then comes to life. And in order for her to, you know, be with this thing, she kind of covers herself in nature as well, and then they both are these nature people, and yeah, so the way, by the way, the beautiful is, or the video is significantly more beautiful than I just described, but so yeah, very similar kind of visual similarities. The Upsetter video is live action, but yeah, I thought that those themes were definitely there, and I'm pretty sure Encyclopedia Pictoria has not done a music video in several years, and now suddenly we got two within, you know, a couple of weeks from each other, and they've
probably been working on them for the last several years.
Yeah, right. No, I mean they're really kind of amazing, and I feel like there may be a couple more, one or two more coming maybe, but yeah, they're just remarkable videos. So yeah, you're probably right. They probably were, have been worked on for a really long time. Andrew, do you enjoy the Panda Bear video?
Yes. Anytime I see animation, though, I can't help but think back to, like, my freshman year of undergrad when I had to take an animation course and just, I can't draw at all. So it all feels very, very painful to me trying to even conceiving of an idea that you are going to animate. It's beyond me and my tolerance for putting any kind of attention to anything.
It must have really made an impact on you if you're talking about something from early in college and you have a master's that it's still affecting you to where anytime you watch animation, that's pretty heavy.
I respect anything animated because I know how hard it is.
Sure, totally. Yeah, just that little bit of just that little taste. But yeah, I thought this was a fantastic video. We talked about the Upsetter a lot on this podcast a few weeks ago, and so I thought it was really interesting how those two videos tied together. Despite the fact that the Upsetter is not directed by the same guys, and Encyclopedia Pictoria is three gentlemen, and the Upsetter was directed by Darren Rabinovich. Oh man, why did I even try? and we have a commentary from Darren, and he says his name, and I should be able to say it, but I'm not. So on that note, I think we should move on to the next music video. I think let's talk about Saint Vincent Birth in Reverse. Adam, take us through it.
Okay, sure. So this one was directed by Willow Perro, and it's actually an excellent music video. The first half of the video was a little bit more what I'd expect to see from a St. Vincent video. Lots of sort of straight-on shots of her looking bewildered or surprised, and kind of has her trademark gray hair. And they do some things with changing the color of the video and some effects like that. But the part that I really, really liked is just past the halfway mark, St. Vincent or Annie Clark, she has her hair straightened, which is unusual to see and actually looks really cool. And she's kind of just shredding guitar over like a galaxy backdrop. And they do some cool stuff with fog and the lighting. And the end of the video just really drove it home for me. And it's basically very a simple a performance video, but that last half is so cool.
Yeah, it's interesting because it does start in a place that like felt like very like this is kind of what you were expecting to see, but then like her in rocking out on the guitar, like that's an image of Saint Vincent that I feel like I'm not used to seeing, and I really dug it.
Also, she's an amazing guitarist, and I think that's something that that they should focus on more. Like, she can really shred. She's been in, like, featured in guitar magazines and stuff. So to kind of spotlight that guitar playing, they show, like, some close-ups of the actual guitar work and the finger work and stuff. And I just thought that was probably essential for at this point, featuring that a little bit more in her stuff.
You seem pretty excited about it. You use the word you use the word shred now twice, which I think those are in the history of this podcast has now been used three times. So you've tripled our intake of the word shred in just your description of St. Vincent. So that's very exciting. I really enjoyed the style of this video, and it definitely like takes a turn.
They do a good job of highlighting excellent musicianship without highlighting excellent musicianship.
That's it. So, what do you mean, like, with not being forceful with it?
Like when an artist is very competent musically and are, you know, it's people are very aware of the fact that they're very good at playing their instruments. It can be difficult to not be content as like a director or DP or whatever with just showing them do those things. It's a lot cooler if you can integrate that into the video where you are showing that, but you're not, you know, it's like integrated in the video. So you're not showing it for showing its sake. 'Cause you can just get very, you know, you can be entranced by people's, you know, guitar playing skills or whatever it is that they do. But if you can make that be not the reason that you're showing it, then it's a lot better.
Yeah, definitely. Like, it didn't feel at all like a thing where they were like, oh, well, we got to make sure to show St. Vincent shredding because she's right. known for her shreds. Like, they didn't like that. It seemed like there was more to the decision than just like her trademark guitar playing. Yeah, it's a really interesting point. Cool. Well, that was a fun video to talk about. It's pretty simple, so I think we covered the meat and potatoes of it. I want to talk about a video from an artist who this year I've been very interested in, and this artist is Young Jake, and the song, the music video is called "She Don't Need to Know," which is like just kind of like a thing that I try to live by, though, that term. You know, she don't need to know. It doesn't matter who she is. I just feel like I don't need to tell things to her. So dumb that I said that. But what I really... So, this video is... it's a tongue-in-cheek jab at product placements in music videos to like a very big level. Like, if you just kind of like click through this music video, there's not a single shot that doesn't have like a label in it of some kind. And I'm pretty sure none of these people actually paid for this video.
That is makes me like this video so much more.
Yeah, so none of those, and it's not even actually a Vivo video. And in the screenshot, there's the big Vivo logo there. It's definitely Young Jake is definitely like making a statement here with this video, and it's a statement that I'm definitely on board with. Young Jake is a rapper, and he's also a director. He directed a music his own music video for the song "Look," which is really fantastic. It's another video that if you're not like if you're not looking beneath the layer, it looks like a shitty iPhone video, but like it really is like a pretty interesting and complex, like has some complex effects in there. That's definitely one that we will suggest people check out as well. And Young Jake also co-directed the No Flex Zone music video. I'm sure everyone knows that jam. No Flex Zone, 51 million views this year. By Ray Sermond, who are children rappers. But Young Jake is great. And this video, I really like this video and like the kind of the statement being made, because I really understand like that, you know, music videos need to get paid for somehow, and a lot of artists you know, have to put product placements in their music videos, and it's really not unusual or something that should be unexpected. But it is something that we all notice. And for someone to kind of be calling it out like that in this way is really, you know, like, it works. It works for me, for sure. Because I feel like it's an easy target, but, like, the way that they play it in this video, where it's not, like, done jokily, where they really do kind of, like, compose the shots well. Andrew, have you ever had to shoot a product placement for a music video?
Yeah, I feel like every other video is a Beats by Dre video, or, you know, there's Beats by Dre shit in it, you know?
Right, and so is that, like, it's not a thing where they just, like, someone sneaks the stuff in there, right? It's definitely, very calculated thing. And is there, like, as far as you know, like, is the way it's composed, does that come from the director, or does that feel like it's coming from elsewhere?
I think every director has tried to figure out a way to do that in some way that someone else hasn't done it.
Yeah.
It's impossible. There are, from what I know, there's like a certain amount of time that it has to be on screen, and it has to be seen a certain way for them to get their money for the video. And there's really just not any way
no way to avoid it. Yeah. I've heard, the term get in the 8 seconds or something. 8 seconds is a time span that I've heard a few times. I feel like headphones are something that you can maybe sneak into a shot, but like the Beats pill, there is no tasteful way. And
that new pill is so fucking big.
The big one, it's so big. And I've seen it used in some really remarkable ways. So this podcast, like we mentioned, is being recorded on Wednesday, December 17th. And it's coming out on Friday, December 19th. And by the time it has been released, the podcast is released, we should have a blog post from director Tom Glunt, where he counts down his 10 best product placements in music videos of the year. And I think I'm pretty sure this Young Jake video finds its way on the list, even though it kind of should be disqualified because none of these are actual product placements. But, you know, who cares? I think it counts because they're in there. I wonder if any of these companies are going to, like, get mad about their, distance themselves. I guess it's not, he's not on Gatorade's radar. But, Young Jake. Adam, how'd you feel about this video?
I liked it. Definitely a cool poke at something that we see all the time.
Totally. And I like the word poke. Let's talk about Hell Yeah by Rag & Bone Man, featuring Vince Staples, which is directed by Truman and Cooper, who is a director duo, and I don't believe that either of them are named Truman or Cooper. I think they have different names, and we should talk to them and find out where that Truman and Cooper name comes from. It's peculiar. Adam, let it rip. What's going on in this video?
First of all, this is like definitely a cinematic video. A little bit of interpretation here, but I think it's a brother and a sister who
I thought they were boyfriend and girlfriend.
There's definitely a huge age difference. They could be.
Interesting. Maybe that is the case. That makes
but
that
in any case.
But that makes that makes more sense to me.
Yeah, so they go and they pick up who I assumed was their father, and they've kind of got a plan to, I guess, kill him at some point.
They pick him up so
from prison,
right? So and technically set this up. So this is it's not like actually happening, right? It's like in his like big open space, and everything is like these individual like set pieces, right? That are kind of in nowhere,
right?
You're right. Okay. Right. Continue.
And I mean, without giving away too much, the video kind of develops from there, and we see them interacting with the father, who's clearly probably not the coolest person ever.
Yeah. Right. They're taking him from jail.
And yeah, so I, like I said, I don't want to give too much away. It definitely has a bit of a surprise or
if things come to a head.
They come to a head. That's a good way.
Yeah, definitely. I thought it was really fantastic. This video read to me like a play in a music video almost, because of the way the sets were constructed and kind of placed in these open spaces. But I thought it was like so dramatic,
really powerful.
Yeah.
For sure.
It seems so real, mm-hmm. even though it's like so in your like that. It seems so real, even though they go through steps to like show you that it's not. Like, this isn't real. This is just bars in a parking lot. This man could walk around the other side. He's not really in jail. But like, even with that, you like watch this and you're like, oh shit, they're gonna kill their dad. Like, it's just really like fantastic the way they're able to maintain the drama and the reality of this video, despite like explicitly showing you that it's not real. And I was really impressed by that. Andrew, what did you think of this one?
My favorite part is the there's like almost like a dream segment in the middle or mm-hmm. something. I'm not sure exactly what it is. To me, that was the most powerful images. There's one of the smoke kind of rushing towards camera right before the dad wakes up. That I just kind of had a visceral reaction to that shot, which is rare for a music video, for me anyways.
Yeah, why? Do you watch a lot of music videos?
No.
No, is there a reason for that?
How do you keep up?
Yeah, we can't even do it. And then and we basically do.
We try.
Spend all our time watching music videos. Yeah. And still so many slip through the cracks. But yeah, this is definitely a super powerful video. The song really works with it too. Vince Staples he's lent his voice to a lot of really great music videos in his short career. So big ups to Vince Staples. Let's all give him a hand. Let's talk about an extremely popular music video. And this is Only by Nicki Minaj featuring Drake, Lil Wayne, and Chris Brown, directed by Hannah Lux Davis. This music video was released about a week ago, a little less, and has well over roughly 16 million views in that short span of time. It's just like kind of a crazy, crazy popular video. Adam Alexander, what did you think of this video?
It was a video. as could be expected from a Hannah Lux Davis video, some really cool stylistic choices in the wardrobe and stuff. They kind of wear like Nicki wears some sexy lingerie and then some of the backup dancers and stuff. So it's a sexy video.
No sexy lingerie on Drake or Lil Wayne.
No, thankfully. He is sitting in a chair again, though. We've seen that. Yeah, he sits in a chair for a little bit.
This song is very weird to me. It's like a song that is just like talking about. I don't know. I feel like they're just like talking about themselves, which I guess sounds like every rap song, but it's like just such like boring things about it. It's like, oh, this is what I'm doing. I'm doing a terrible job of describing why I think this song is weird, but it is just very weird that they're just like all they're doing is talking about each other and that they haven't had sex with each other. The song makes me feel weird. How does the song make you guys feel?
I call these kind of songs non-songs. I don't know. It's definitely involved. Like, they're making lots of money, so who cares?
They definitely are. And the video definitely. So there's a bit of a backstory about this song. Correct me if I'm wrong, Adam. But this is the song that had that Nazi lyric video, right?
Yes. I think you're right.
I am right. So there's a lyric video for this song that was released in November that is just full of Nazi imagery. And there was obviously backlash for it. Not like, it's not...
Everyone loved it.
It's not direct. It's not like pictures of Hitler, but it's like clearly like the images in that lyric video were clearly inspired by Nazi imagery, which is a horrible place to draw inspiration from for your lyric video. So rightfully so, there was some pushback. I do think that this video will help quite, you know, like get beyond the lyric video. Like lyric videos typically are meant to just be like a little preview, you know, putting the song on YouTube early before the actual official music video is done. And I do think that they, like, this video is big enough. I think that they're able to stomp some of that out. But I do think that's interesting to see how, like, what this music video is. Like, I was interested to see what direction they would go with this music video because of all that. And, you know, it's definitely like, you know, there's a what'd you call them, Andrew? Not songs?
Non-songs.
Non-song. So I think like there's a very specific type of video that has to get made for a non-song. There are like certain elements that need to be in there. Product placements, usually one of them. But like there's definitely like a certain style that this type of video has to have. And the difference between a good version of that video and a bad version is like some videos only do those things that need to be done, and then other videos kind of are able to elevate that format to additional levels. And I think that Hannah Lux Davis is able to elevate this video to levels that like a different director probably wouldn't have taken it, and so for that I thought it was pretty cool. Adam, you mentioned the style in terms of the wardrobe, but I also thought the style of the filmmaking had some interesting elements to it, and you know, there was just some interesting kind of stylistic choices that they made, and I was into them. It is weird that Drake's wearing knee pads. I can't really explain that, but. You know, it's for another day, I think. We've got one more video on our list. I think we did a good job of covering them all. We saved this one for last. This is Tell Me by Giraffage? Huh? Adam, what do you think?
I always thought Giraffage, but Giraffage. This one's debatable. You might be right.
Giraffage. So that's more of like...
How did you say it?
Giraffage.
I like both.
Giraffage or Giraffage. I guess, yeah, that it sounds like a regional difference that we have.
It might help knowing where they're from if we wanted to look that up, but I don't want to.
Yeah, that it sounds like that's what I just said in the word with the word regional. Anyway, let's talk about this fun music video. It's got dogs, and it's got people, and it's got people with dog heads. And then it's got a lot of other weird images in the mix as well. Did I do a good job describing this video?
You did a very literal job of describing.
Well, literal, but I also said it was fun.
Sure. Let's say super fun.
Okay, I'll say that. It was super fun. Adam, it sounds like you really like this video.
Oh yeah, it's really good. It is hard to kind of break down any further than what you did. There's also some fast food in there.
There is, and if I know my fast food, that looks like a Big Mac. Does anyone second that?
I think that is a Big Mac.
Okay, yeah, it looks like they fed a dog a Big Mac for this music video, which is not something I agree with, but it is worth it. It is worth it, I think.
But was it a person with a dog head? Because that might be passable.
Passable. Yeah.
Feels like a video full of a bunch of things that I've already seen, but it doesn't bother me for some reason.
Sure. Yeah, definitely.
Exactly.
They're definitely not like I mean, it's the type of style that I feel like it's one that I'm drawn to, but it's definitely not like a brand new style. I think People with Dog Heads is also not something that's completely unique. Hamburgers, you can throw a rock and hit 10 music videos with Hamburgers. So no, this is definitely stuff that you see a lot. But
I think it's like the little touches in the transitions between the shots that kind of make it a little, the space stuff that's kind of in the middle that makes it a bit different.
I mean, I think it still feels. It still feels like it's got some unique stuff in there. The way it all kind of comes together. But that's just because I think those feelings come from the fact that it's still just fun to watch. Because, you know, if you take any of those things individually, none of it's new. Even the person with a dog head who then has a baby that's a dog with a person head, all that, none of that feels super fresh. But regardless, this is still a fun music video. What are our thoughts on the VFX on the dog heads? Are we into that?
I liked it.
But do we think it was like solid VFX work? I was unsure if I mean, I don't think, like, clearly the person, whoever it was involved, is very talented. I'm wondering if it was like a stylistic choice to have it feel the way it felt. It definitely felt like kind of odd to me.
I think it was what they were going for. Mm-hmm. Kind of this surreal where the proportions are intentionally off. They could have made it look more natural that the person
are like, you know, it seemed like they didn't make much effort of trying to, like, if the dog turned its head, to like have the person cock its shoulder a little bit to like sell it. You know,
sure.
The things kind of operate, the dog heads and the human bodies kind of have minds of their own, and it feels that way, but it's still like, I think the effects are solid enough to where they still feel attached to each other, but they feel kind of like, I don't know, like they said they have minds of their own. It's fun. But yeah, that was that music video, and I think we talked about them all. We talked about all the music videos that came out in the last 2 weeks. There was just six. You know, that's obviously not true. There's lots more music videos that have come out. Lots of them that we liked, and you can find them all at imvdb.com. The new ones and the ones that we like, they're right there on that page, imvdb.com. But if you want to know more things about Andrew, like his website address or the music videos he's worked on, you can find those at imvdb.com/podcast. This is episode number 136, and that's where you'll find all the links and all the information, as well as a list of all the music videos that we talked about. And we did it. And Andrew, thanks again for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Totally. And listeners, we've got one more special podcast, a Christmas Day episode. We normally release these on Friday, but next week, Christmas is going to be on Thursday, and we're giving you a podcast. It's our Christmas gift to you. So look out for that on Christmas Day. If you don't celebrate Christmas, that it's just going to be a Thursday, in which case, even better. It'll be the first Thursday without a serial podcast, so fill your void with the IMVDB Christmas special, and we'll see you guys next week.